Tonight's message is entitled, Do You Read Me? Over. We took the over off because we didn't want it to be over. Do you read me? You say that into a radio, don't you? And what you're really saying is, can you hear me? Do you read me? So the message tonight is about communication, particularly as it pertains between a husband and a wife, but these principles will go right over into how you communicate with your children, how your children communicate with each other, and how we communicate with everybody. We can learn some very precious lessons on communication as we look at the relationship of Jesus with his disciples. They had some interesting dynamics, didn't they? Here we go. We'll start this one off with John chapter 18, verse 36, for those of you taking notes. Jesus said, tell me if this is complicated. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. So if Jesus was saying that to you, do you think you would get it? Yes. Hindsight, we get it. The disciples heard those words. It was the disciple John who wrote those words. The sound waves came from Jesus' vocal cords and out and into their eardrums, and they heard the words. But they didn't hear the words, did they? You see how this applies in our marriage? We hear the words, but we don't really hear the heart behind the words. It's as if Jesus is talking through a pure white megaphone, a holy white megaphone, but the disciples are hearing through Jewish hearing aids. So it comes out, and by the time it lands in their brain, somehow it got distorted along the way. And this happens to you. Happens to Mike and Connie just a few minutes ago.
And Paul and Carolyn, right?
And Paul and Carolyn, yes. Regular. And you'll hear about some of that as we move on through. It wasn't that the disciples didn't want to hear. It wasn't that they didn't love him. They'd given up everything to follow him. We've got to be aware that we all filter words. Our humanity filters things out. And we don't hear it. So here we are, a little further down, John 6:15. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king, they didn't get it, did they? So they were going to... Jesus obviously wasn't going to put himself forward, so if he's not going to do it, somebody's going to have to do it. Just get this thing organized, don't tell him what we're up to, and at the last minute we'll just take him and we'll make him king. And he'd already said to them, my kingdom is not from here. Now, it's a little bit easier for us to see the lack of understanding because this is between Jesus and the disciples, but how is it when it's in your house? We're going to talk about that as we carry on.
It was the same with the death and resurrection of Jesus. Mark 8 and verse 31 says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Was that simple to understand? Did you understand what was being said there? Yeah, it's not complicated stuff, is it? But they didn't get it. They were listening through Jewish Pharisaical hearing aids, and as Paul said, it distorted what they heard. And so that's why, you know, Peter's there lopping off earlobes and doing all kinds of stuff because they didn't hear it. Jesus said it, they didn't hear it. We want you to be thinking about not just how that worked then, but how does that work now? He says it, you hear something completely different.
Interesting thing about that, Carolyn, it says in Mark, the text you just read, Mark 8:31, and he began to teach them. He didn't just tell them this once. It wasn't just one sentence that they missed. He was teaching them this, and they missed it. And oftentimes we're communicating to each other, and we miss it. It's not because we don't love each other. It's not because we're trying not to get it. This one's a classic. I love this one. Matthew 16, for those of you taking notes, 6 and 7. Then Jesus said to them, the disciples, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They knew what leaven was. It wasn't just the stuff you put in the bread. Next verse. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. That must have been a little bit exasperating, even to our Lord Jesus Christ. He had temptations to deal with. It's like, he didn't do this. This is probably what I would have done. It's not about the bread. I'm trying to teach you. Why can't you hear what I'm saying? You've done that in your house, haven't you, at your wife? Just listen to me. I've already told you this twice. I'm going to say it again. Please listen. Jesus didn't do that.
It's going to be okay.
Praise the Lord.
It was the same with the triumphal entry. We're just trying to paint you a picture of all the way through Jesus' life. So here we are now. He's coming into Jerusalem, triumphal entry. Desire of Ages, page 571, puts it this way. It says, this day, which seemed to the disciples the crowning day of their lives, the crowning day of their lives, Jesus riding into Jerusalem. Why?
To be king.
To be crucified. And this is the crowning day of their lives, would have been shadowed with gloomy clouds had they known that this scene of rejoicing was but a prelude to the suffering and death of their master. Although he had repeatedly told them of his certain sacrifice, yet in the glad triumph of the present, they forgot his sorrowful words and looked forward to his prosperous reign on David's throne. They just didn't get it. Why didn't they get it? Jesus is speaking through a white megaphone. They've got Jewish, Pharisaical hearing aids in, and so what they hear and what he said are not the same thing. Are you getting the picture? In our married lives, what we hear and what was said often when we run into these situations are not the same thing. So we've got to try and figure out how to decode that, and that's what we're going to get into.
So to have a good marriage, we have to have good communication. I know you ladies all know that, and I know the guys all know that as well. But sometimes we lack the tools, and we want to give you some tools to really listening to the heart. Now, this doesn't just apply to your spouse. Sometimes your children speak, and you miss their hearts. Sometimes your sister speaks, and you miss her heart. Again, it's not because we do not love each other. It's because naturally we're all brought up different, and we filter things different. We filter out things that we're, I don't know where that came from. Not that we do this, it just kind of filters it out. We have an example here, don't we, wifey?
Oh, we do. It was about 10 days before our wedding day. And we had done the traditional thing back then, and for our culture where we came from, I was wearing an engagement ring when we got engaged, and we bought wedding rings at the same time. Matching wedding rings went with the engagement ring, and so we're sitting there. I can still see it in that little teeny weeny bedroom you had in your parents' house. And we were sitting in your bedroom, and we pulled the little box off of the shelf that had the little box that had the two wedding rings. He pulled it off, and he's looking at the two wedding rings. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, he says, "I don't want to wear this ring."
There's a lot of decoding going on here now. You're all having thoughts. You're all having bad thoughts about me. I know.
Now, we have had 25 wonderful years of married life. But what you have to know, and just to give you a little bit of the history, whoa, this is going to get dangerous now. This is not in here. Anyway, here it goes. After 3 weeks of courtship, we got engaged.
Ouch, you were not meant to tell them all that.
Young people, put your fingers in your ears. Do as we say and not
now,
as we did.
If you need to come talk to us later, that's great, we'll talk to you. After about another 5 weeks from there, I went out to Africa where I had already got a position to be a midwife for 2 years, okay? And we were going to get married 2 years and 6 months later. But we bought the rings, and there they were in the box, and that was it. And so, anyway, after a few months, I got very sick out there, came home, and we were going to get married. Bam! So we've spent, I would say, about 8 weeks in each other's company, okay? And now we're getting married. Now, we had plenty of letters written, so you have to understand. So put yourself there, and now he pulls the box off, and we're looking. I don't think I want to wear this ring. What do you think's going through my mind? I can tell you, I can still feel it. It was this nauseous adrenaline rush of, and I just was stuck in my tracks and I said, what are you trying to say?
Now, ladies, I know what you heard. Now I want to turn to...
He doesn't want to marry me.
Men, is that what I was saying? What was I saying, men? I didn't want to wear a ring. I'd never worn a ring. It's a girly type of thing to wear a ring. I don't want... I'm not... If you've got a wedding ring on, that's fine by me.
Keep it on, don't... You know. So anyway, so I looked at him and I said, so... He says, I just don't think I need any... He says, I just think I can hack the idea of wearing a ring. And I'm like, oh, well, if that's all you're saying, who cares about the wedding ring?
It was a little bit more complicated than I remember that, because you'd done this line drawing that went out.
Yeah.
It was on the program, and it was...
On the
order of service thing, and it was two rings.
On a Bible.
Yeah.
And anyway. We had one. Anyway, that was fine. Hey, I did not care. We sold it. I don't know what we did with the money, but anyways, he's never worn one, and we've been happy ever after. But
and you don't wear one either now.
No, I don't.
So here's a classic example. I was talking, as one person has said, I was talking through a blue megaphone, and as those sound waves went through the air, it got filtered through a pink hearing aid.
He doesn't want to marry me.
And it came out different. That wasn't what I meant at all. I was madly in love with this girl, and I couldn't wait to marry her.
Just
but you see how it happens? Now, you're laughing at us, but this happens regular at your house, doesn't it? How honest are we? Honesty check. We haven't had one so far yet. Okay, thank you.
Not very, by the looks doesn't... of things.
Oh, it happens at the back there. Okay, and over there. Good. Oh, yeah, yeah. You don't have to put all four hands up. It's okay. Okay. Here's another simple example. This hasn't actually happened, but it could have happened.
Oh, yeah.
Husband and wife working together in the garden. There may be weed in the flower bed. And the husband, nice guy, just wanting to make some conversation, he says to his dear wife, it looks like you've put on a bit of weight recently. No, see, I haven't even finished it.
He's not finished.
It looks like you've put a little bit of weight on recently. I think it's cute. All right. Answer me this, men, ladies. Am I being mean? All right. Thank you. Ladies, did you hear that? That wasn't just me.
So, ladies, what do we hear? As fat and ugly, right?
That is amazing that you all knew that. That's exactly what we have in the notes.
It even kind of made me, you know, we do these notes together. When I read that, I was like, ooh.
The thing is, ladies, what you've got to understand is the guy thought he was doing really well because he had noticed. We don't notice many things. So he's kind of a little bit proud of himself that he'd noticed. And hey, and he's thinking that she's going to like the fact that I noticed. And
and she's thinking, I hope he doesn't notice. Right, girls?
So you think I'm fat? That's what the lady's thinking.
Oh, yeah.
So then what happens is the lady kind of gets all defensive and kind of clams up and starts going off on these weird tangents. And the guy's thinking, what did I say? And then it kind of deteriorates from there, and it's like, oh, well. Another one didn't work.
Girls, we need to be, even if how we hear it isn't what we want to hear, we need to be thankful he's being observant, because, well, you know, that doesn't happen like every day, does it? You know what I'm saying?
Don't give too many of our secrets away.
It's not their strong point. So if he's noticing something, hopefully we're going to give you a few tools by which you can hear it the way it's being said by the end of this. You know, sometimes it can feel a little bit like what we're dealing with is the Tower of Babel, right? One thing said, another thing totally different, and we go on like this, and on like, and then it gets to some horrible situation, and the intention wasn't there in either heart, but we just get all confused. We're just not reading each other as we should be.
The title of this message is, Do You Read Me? So the very fact that you relating to this, and I, and you actually do give yourself away every time you laugh, we know that you know exactly what we're talking about. So it's obvious. I know you all didn't put your hand up about misunderstandings, but you probably all of you laughed. So we know the truth. Here's another example. What we just got to remember, I want to reiterate this. This wasn't our thought. This was somebody else's thought. That men speak through blue megaphones. The girls filter it through their pink hearing aids and hear something different. And it happens the other way around. The girl has a pink megaphone, and the guy has big blue headphones. Not earbuds, headphones. Here's another example. The husband is lying on the floor in the kitchen, tinkering with the bottom of the fridge. Why is that funny? Anyway, let's not go down that track. He's tinkering with the bottom of the fridge. Probably the reason why he's tinkering with the bottom of the fridge. Men, why would you tinker with the bottom of the fridge? You're fixing it. Okay, good. So he's fixing the fridge. The wife walks into the kitchen, sees him lying there on the floor, tinkering with the bottom of the fridge. And she's thinking, oh, he's in DIY mode. That's an expression we have, do-it-yourself mode. He's in the fix-it mode. So she wants to use the clothes dryer. And so she comes up to him and, in a beautiful pink megaphone, says, sweetheart, did you fix the dryer? Beautiful. I mean, beautiful pink. But guys, we don't hear in pink. We hear in blue. And sometimes when you're trying to do some of those jobs around the house, it's a little bit awkward. I mean, the screwdriver won't quite fit, and it's like, oh, now I've got to go out to the shop and get another screwdriver. It can be a little bit irritating. And just at that point when you're struggling, now she's on to the dryer. And so, in a moment of weakness, sweetheart, I'll get to the dryer when I fix the fridge. Just don't keep bugging me. Ouch. She just came in. Did you fix the dryer? She wasn't looking for a fight. She was just asking a nice pink question.
So he thinks, and I'm going to say what I think you guys would be thinking.
This will be interesting.
So he's thinking, what she's saying is, why did you take so long to fix everything?
That's exactly what you're saying. No. That's exactly what we're hearing. Because we don't fix everything as quick as the wife wants things fixing. Because things break down quicker than we can keep up with
them. Well, and I don't know how it is in everybody else's house, but it's true to say in ours that we've got to wait till you're in the groove, right?
Yeah.
When you're in the fix-it mode, and then I'm like, okay, we're going now. So it's like, okay, what about the dryer? And da-da-da-da-da-da-da, because, hey, when this passes, it might not, you know, well up for a while.
Don't keep laughing at me. I'm trying to teach you something. So, ladies, if he comes back at you, then just try... I'm getting into the second half of the message. We're going to talk about reading between the lines and decoding and all that kind of stuff. In fact, we're very close.
Let's go there.
Let's go there. Okay. So we define the problem. Men speak through blue. And we're just making this generic. I know this doesn't happen every time in every marriage, but there is physiological differences between the male brain and the female brain. They've taken them apart, and they can see that there are differences. And the fact that you're all giggling at some of these things, you know that we're hitting the chord in your home as well as ours. So that's the problem. Let's go into some of the solutions. Brothers, we have got to learn a second language. It's called pink. Not Spanish. Pink. You've got to learn to hear pink if you want to have good communication between you and your wife. Another thing is you need to be able to read between the lines. Amen. Some guys have been working on this. Because I discovered in our relationship that Carolyn does not always say what she means. I don't know why. She'll say one line above and one line beneath, and I'm supposed to figure out what's in between, the invisible bit. Here's an example. So Carolyn and I are walking hand in hand through Costco or Walmart. You know, children in the car doing school. I'm just giving you a typical situation. And, well, we'd be pushing the cart, I guess. Yeah. And there we walk past the flowers. And Carolyn says, "Smell those flowers, honey. Oh, look at the roses." Okay, ladies, what is she saying?
No, we haven't given this before, so we know you haven't reread the script.
If I get this response anywhere else, I'll know they were watching the live stream. But here, I know we've never said any of this stuff before. So, men, you've got to read between the lines. And I'll make it easy for you, all right, just for the sake of illustration here. The first line is, "Smell those roses, honey." That's the first line. No, smell the flowers. The second line is, "Oh, look at the roses." Now, men, in this setting, you know what's in between, don't you? Come on, men, just give your wife a little bit of reassurance,
yeah,
as
really.
Well. What is she saying, men? "I would like some flowers." It's easy here at family camp. You can get it. But what if when you're in Costco, you're frantically going up and down the aisles as you pass the flowers, and you're looking for the WD-40. "I can't find it. They had a six-pack in here last time I was in here. It's got to be in here somewhere." And she says, "Oh, look at the flowers." "Yeah, forget the flowers. Where's the WD-40? And we miss it. We miss it. Just like the disciples missed it. Now, it's funny, but if that happens too many times, what happens, Carolyn?
Well, this is what happens. Because often, it depends. If things are going well in your marriage, you would feel more inclined to say, "Hey, look at the flowers." But if things are not, if you've had poor communication, things are not going well, girls, you're not going to do that, are you? In fact, it's the last thing in the world you're going to do to go anywhere near those flowers, because you don't want to be vulnerable enough to say that you might have a need when you're hurt or hurt and cut up inside. And guys, whether she goes by the flowers or not, whether she comments or not, you know what's going on. And if things are not going well, she needs the flowers more than ever. Amen. But she may not be vulnerable enough to say so, because she's fearful that you might just go, "Forget that, let's go do this." Because that's deep. That might not be deep for you guys, but it's deep for her. So you've got to start to understand. And reading between the lines is crucial if you want to understand your wife. And you're doing great reading between the lines.
It's good to pray so that you don't go off on some tangent. And ask questions. Pray and ask questions. That was actually a little bit later on. Mm-hmm. Were you going to cover?
I did.
You did that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is another illustration for the ladies.
We need to be listening, ladies, as opposed to trying to read between the lines. Because you tend to do what is natural to you. So do we need to read between the lines with guys, with our husbands? Because how do they speak? Somebody said headlines. There it is. You don't need to read between the lines. And oftentimes, it actually bugs our husbands when we try to read between the lines, because they're just trying to say it real clear, really simple, and we're trying to analyze, what did they really mean? Where are they really going with this? And they're not going anywhere. They're just, there it is.
Classic example of that. This is just a 30-minute-old example. We're walking up to the auditorium, Carolyn and I. Somebody comes alongside us and says, is it men singing tonight? I thought, it is. It's men singing tonight. Tom doesn't know that. I just left Tom back in his room. He's not ahead of me. He's behind me. He has no idea it's men singing, and he's supposed to lead it. So when a blue man calls another blue man with my blue megaphone and his blue hearing aid, all I have to say, and this is exactly what I said, is, Tom, it's men singing tonight. You're on. Okay, I'll be there. Bye. You girls wouldn't do that in a month of Sundays.
We wouldn't.
That's men, we just say it as it is. And you try to read the next line down, and we didn't say that. You said that, we didn't say that.
In fact, what we tend to do, if we're not careful, is we put different constructions on things, and we come up with scenarios that they would never have even dreamed of in 1,000 years.
And we're going, where did you get that from?
Because we're trying to read between the lines. So we need to back off and start listening, simply listening to what they're saying.
Amen.
Here's
Hallelujah.
An example. Here's an example. It's about, I don't know, it was about 12 years ago, somewhere like that. So we've been married about 12, 13 years. And Paul, he commented one day on a friend of mine, and he said, hey, did you notice her hair? He said, I think you should do yours like that too.
It's not going down good.
So what does my between the lines female brain do with that?
That is truly
amazing. Dear. She said exactly what was in the notes.
Right.
It's just the nearest voice I heard.
Okay, so he thinks my hair is boring. I've had it this way all our married life. So he doesn't like it. He probably has never liked it. I mean, so what else don't you like about me that you've never told me?
I wasn't talking about anything else. I just mentioned hair.
And what are you doing noticing my girlfriend's hair anyway?
Oh, boy.
And what else am I going to have to change here pretty soon? You see, what was he saying?
Hair.
He's saying, hey, that looked cute on her. I think it looked really cute on you. It's simple. But we try to read it through our ears and eyes instead of listening. And so I got to ask you something. So is it still working?
Beautiful.
Okay.
One word headline. Beautiful.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, I forgot what I was going to do with these notes.
Yeah, you put some extras on
here. I put some extras on here, and it all seemed very good when I wrote it. Now I've not got a clue what it means. I need some help here. Oh, I know the second one. Now I don't even know that. Oh, dear.
Well, just go here and you'll come.
Hang on, just process. Just talk to each other a minute whilst I try and figure this out. Because I was going over the notes this afternoon and this was really good. Now it's gone. Sorry, it's gone from me. Oh, yeah, I got it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your prayers, if you were praying. So your wife says to you, just as you're coming up to the evening meeting, did you have a shave? Now, a shave to a girl, or to some girls, my girl, is big. You know, if you could draw a face in proportion, an unshaved face would be really big. You know, and a shaved face would be nice and small.
So to a guy...
I mean his, not anybody else's.
To a guy... Did you have a shave? That's all right. A shave is small. You know, we just discount it. But to a girl, most girls, it's big. You see how there's that little disconnect there? Here's another one. This has happened to us more than once. So you had the breakout. Mom was in there talking about who knows what. And Dad was out here looking after the children. And the wife comes out of the breakout and she sees you. And what's pretty much her first words? Where are the kids? That's big. Oh, I don't know, round here somewhere. That's round here somewhere. That's good for a guy. Well, they were here a minute ago. But to Carolyn, is that good? To ladies,
no,
they want to know right where the children are. They're right here by my side. Anyway, that's enough of those examples, I think. Okay. Practical number three. All of us, we need... Oh, you didn't talk... Did you talk about that one area where men do talk between the lines? We'll get to that. Okay. There is one area where men speak between the lines.
Say no more. We'll get there.
And they probably figured it already. There's a lot of energy here tonight. There's a lot of intuition going on. Practical number three, decoding. Like I said, we have to learn to decode. That's really what we're talking about. Decode our wife. Not just her words, and you have to decode us. I know that's pretty difficult, but decoding has to go on. So not just words, but actions. So you notice your wife is always on the phone. You come home from work, she's on the phone. She's on the phone. She's on the phone. And you can come out with, why are you always on the phone? Or we can do some decoding. Decoding. Why is she always on the phone? Men, would you have any ideas why your wives might be always on the phone? They want to talk. Yeah, to you. They want to talk to you. But you're not taking as much time as she needs, so it's just coming out of her on the phone. To people who will talk. I'm not saying if you're on the phone all the time, your husband's not doing his job. I'm not saying that. These are just generics. Another one here. She's trying to organize every last aspect of family life. Men, any ideas why that might be? Because we're not. Very good. Maybe that's decode. Decode. Don't look at these things and condemn with your blue spectacles, but think, why? What is going on here? God can help us decode. Why is she organizing every last thing? Maybe ask her, sweetheart, am I leading the family? Well, yeah, you do a great job, sweetheart, but, you know, somebody's got to organize some of the details. And okay, decode. How about she's upset with the children all the time? You come home from work and it's like you walked into a war. There's fights going on. What is going on? Why is that happening? Maybe she is exhausted. Maybe she's at the end of a rope. Maybe she just needs you to take her by the hand and take her for a walk and say, sweetheart, just pour it all out. Tell me all about it. They will. I tell you, they will. Better be a long walk. Okay, another example of decoding and how we tend to miss the decoding opportunity. Your wife splurts out in not the nicest of tones. You're always out in that shop working on that silly project. I wish you'd never started it. What's the cry of the heart? Is it the project? Is it the silly project? No, that's not the issue. What is the issue? Come on, you know. Yeah, see, you know. Ladies, he knew. Isn't that good? He knew without you saying anything. He knew. He has a connection with the Lord. But what happens is we tend to, in our humanity, we get defensive. It's not a silly project.
we talked about this before I started it, and you said it was a good idea. And why don't you come out there sometimes? It's cold out there. It'd be good to have a bit of company. It's like, and off we go. Decode. Men, you've got to decode. I remember, and I've said this before from the pulpit, it made such a big impression on me. Tom's father, when he was still alive, as Tom said, in the closing years of his life, he had Alzheimer's. And his mind wasn't working properly, but his body was good. And to try and help his brain get oxygenated and get things working properly, Tom and Elaine encouraged him every day to go off for a walk. He loved to walk. And he would walk up their road and he would walk back. And one day he didn't come back. And so, you know, Tom and Elaine went out, and Emily and Allison, I think, went out looking for Grandpa. And it was near the end of the day. They couldn't find Grandpa. So they called some church members, of which we were some, and we all come round and we're out these lanes looking for Grandpa. I couldn't find Grandpa. It was getting cold. This is a Montana, you know, springtime, and it was getting cold. We're getting concerned. So we called out Church and Rescue. That was the other half of the church. And we're looking, and they've got their trucks, and eventually we found Grandpa. Or Tom found Grandpa with Search and Rescue. He was way, way up this trail. We'd been up that trail, but we didn't go far enough. Do you see the lesson? Oftentimes, when we are talking, we don't think deep enough into what the other person is saying. Let's face it, we're pretty lazy. And we don't apply our minds like we could. And we don't dig a little bit. What are you really trying to say? So in that situation of the silly project out in the shed or the shop, that's not the issue. The issue is time. She wants time. Men, we've got to decode. Do ladies have to decode?
Not so much. In fact, I would say we have an easier job of it because they do say what they mean. We don't have to be trying to figure it all out and analyzing it and, you know, mulling it over because they're pretty clear. And we can get a bit oversensitive and think because they say it's so clear that they're actually rather blunt. They're not being very sensitive.
It's all relative.
When it's not that they're not being sensitive. That's just how their mind operates. You know what? I don't want to, or no, let's not, or whatever. They're just saying it real clear. They don't have to beat around the bush like we do so often. So when he says, I'd really like some pizza, what's he saying? I'd really like some pizza. He isn't saying, I'm really fed up with your cooking. I'd rather go out to eat somewhere. He's not saying that.
He would say that if he was thinking that, he would probably say.
You know, I haven't had pizza in a while, and it would be great to have some pizza. So just don't try to overanalyze what he's saying. When he says, what happened to that pink dress you used to wear? He's not saying you look horrible in what you're wearing, and I don't know why you're wearing that stuff. He's saying, hey, I remembered that really little cute number you used to wear. I'd like to see you in it. So you see, it's simple. We just have to simplify it. Somehow, ladies, we are a little bit more complex. I know, guys, you know that. You've got that figured, and maybe we haven't. We are a little more complex. That's the way God engineered us, wired us. But let's not try and put our wiring on them, so to speak. Let's try and look at them with the wiring God gave them, and it will make it a lot simpler. Now, having said that, there is one area where men speak between the lines. And they often do this out of fear of rejection. And ladies, I think intuitively you already know what I'm talking about. And when your husband comes home from work and he's very complimentary and very affectionate, it's because he's trying to make a statement. And he's too vulnerable to say so. And sometimes, if we're really honest, and I'm not going any deeper in it than that because we all understand what I'm talking about. Sometimes, if we are very honest, we will choose to not understand that. We will choose not to decode. He's not going to say it bluntly. Why? Because we might say, no, thank you. And that is going to go very deep. And so, friends, girls, let's not selectively try not to understand. I think you know what I'm saying. Because we all have different needs. And in the marriage, we have needs that each other needs to fulfill, which nobody else can. And so as we're talking about reading one another, that's a very important area in which we need to read one another.
It's gone awful quiet.
And this is not a breakout session. It's okay. We had that this morning.
But I think the quietness is good. So we'll leave it a little longer. A big part of accurately decoding our spouse is praying for them in our quiet time. Because, I'll just be open, sometimes, some periods in our married life, Carol and I, even though we're up front, talking about communication in marriage, and we've done that for the last 10 years or so, I've gone through periods of not really praying for my wife. And you might think, wives are probably thinking, that's terrible. Guys are thinking, I completely understand. If we are praying for our wife, if we are seeking to be observant and connect and, you know, have some time with her, we can be a lot more tuned in to her needs, and then decoding becomes a lot easier. But men, let's face it, we check out oftentimes. Yeah? It was said that men have two brains. One is lost and the other one's out looking for it. It's not true. Not true at all. Men are the...
It seems like that.
But I've shared this before as well. Sometimes we can put our brain into park. We don't mean to. It just kind of defaults there. And it's parked, and your wife says, what are you thinking? And you say, nothing, because you're not thinking anything. Wives have never experienced that to know that, so they think we're lying. We're not lying, we're in park. And I am seeking by God's grace not to default back to park, but to think on these things, to have that communion with God moment by moment. And part of that is observing where our wife is. Is she bowed down with home duties? Does she need some relief? Is she really who she could be because of my help? Or have I detached myself slightly ignorantly? Practical number four. This is the last one. And I was swaying onto that already, I guess. We need to be able to decode our wives or our husbands in a spiritual sense. We need to be keeping an eye, a spiritual eye on each other in the spiritual realm. If your spouse is kind of just lying in more and more, having less and less quiet time, if you're noticing that, in a nice way, bring it up. Talk about it. Don't just ignore it. Or don't be so busy that you don't even notice. We need to be one another's keeper. We need to be looking after each other. It's a precious relationship. So decoding some of those actions, whether it be spiritual, you were going to talk a little bit about health as well, were you?
Well, we're just carrying on here and then health is there.
Okay, all righty.
You know, it can really be bothersome for us as ladies if we feel like our husband is not leading out in the home, or isn't making good, in our eyes, to our glasses, if you will, not making good spiritual choices. And it can be very damaging if we are not sensitive about what we do with that. So if that's how it feels to you, that your husband isn't making the choices to lead out and isn't making good spiritual choices in his life and therefore in your home, what are you going to do about that? What we tend to do in our frustration maybe sometimes is just kind of blurt stuff out that is very demeaning and actually makes the situation worse, not better. When what we need to do, as you've just said, we need to be praying. If that's what we perceive, let's pray and see if that is actually the case. It may be that no, he isn't by the side of the bed reading his Bible before he goes to work because he's listening to it in the vehicle as he goes. He just hasn't told you that. So let's not just interpret through our eyes and ears how we think and where we think they're spiritual. We're going to talk about physical health, but right now we're looking at spiritual health. Let's not just try and make assumptions. Let's be prayerful and not just kind of come out with things that can be very demeaning and destructive.
If you notice your wife is struggling spiritually, then who is the leader of the home? Who is the one who is called by God to fix that? Does he just say to his wife, come on, sweetheart, pull yourself together? You can't pull yourself together, can you?
God's given us to help her, to look after her, to be her spiritual leader under Christ. So maybe you could suggest to your wife, hey, sweetheart, why don't we have devotions together for a couple of weeks? Let's read through a couple of chapters of Desire of Ages or Steps to Christ or Ephesians and do something together and seek to be the one to lift her up. Not just say, oh, well, she'll got her own problems, you know, she'll figure it. We need to be the ones to lift her up.
And our physical health, we need to be decoding one another in our health, because that plays a big part in how we operate. So, you know, if at certain times in the month your wife is kind of crabby and irritable, guys, there's probably a very good reason for that, and you understand what I'm talking about. And a hug and a little bit of understanding goes an awful long way, and you can ask your wife. In that situation, it really does. If he comes home from work and he's got like a short fuse, you know, he's frustrated and easily irritated again, I guess. Wouldn't be that reason, but maybe he's got a bad migraine. And he's not feeling good and he comes home from work. And the last thing he needs is a crabby wife and cranky children. So be sensitive. It's all part of the decoding. It's all part of reading one another to understand. How would you feel if you came home with a splitting headache and the children were going cranky? You wouldn't feel so good. So let's try and be sensitive to that rather than, oh, he'll figure it out. Just go to bed. You'll be all right tomorrow. Let's be sensitive to one another so that we can learn to read one another and recognize that. And maybe you have a spouse with a major illness, a terminal illness maybe, something that's gone on for a long time. We need to be sensitive to one another's needs. So for us as wives, we need to be sensitive to those needs. They have different needs than if they weren't in that position. And if they do, ask the Lord to help us to read what those needs are. Because often we have needs, but we don't know how to communicate those. And then that becomes very difficult.
So the title of the message is, Do You Read Me? And our encouragement is, please be more observant of each other, spiritually and physically, because who else is going to do that? It's a very close relationship. It's the closest earthly relationship there is. And so it's got to be Carolyn looking after me and me looking after Carolyn. And when we were in Africa shortly after our marriage, our wedding.
Minus the ring.
We headed off to Africa. And Carolyn was this bubbly, vivacious, happy girl. And when we got down there in Africa for a while, she just wasn't Carolyn. She was just kind of
flat,
black and white, kind of dumbed down. Now, none of the other missionaries there really knew Carolyn. I mean, I know I didn't know her that well, but none of them knew her like I knew her. So I could see, Carolyn, are you all right? You don't seem yourself. And she said, no, I don't know. I get these headaches sometimes, and I just don't feel good, and you know, I got no energy. And I said, well, do you think we should, you know, go and see the doctor? And we all tend to think that we are invincible, don't we? Especially us men. Is there anything wrong with you? No. Till we die. It's just, you know, we just keep going and going and going. And that's true, actually. When I went to visit a doctor just recently, he said, the ladies, they come in, they say, oh, I've got something wrong with me, and we fix it. And they come in, you know, a year or two later, and I've got something wrong with me, and we fix it. The guys never come in, and then they die. So that's me as well. But when we were in Africa there, we went to the doctor. Of course, we were at a hospital. We were at an institution there, so it wasn't difficult to go. We went to the Mexican doctor, and Carolyn's not feeling so good. You know, and we had a hint because she'd had malaria before. And so they did some more blood tests, and she got reinfected with the mosquitoes. And now she had, what was the strain of that malaria?
P. falciparum.
And so Carolyn, being a nurse and midwife, she gets her books out, and she's got to research P. falciparum malaria. Deadly in white, non-immune people. She's white. Obviously non-immune. Deadly. That doesn't sound too good. So we read some more. What happens is eventually it crosses
what they call the blood-brain barrier. I don't know if that's a real barrier, but it gets out of one system into the next system, and then you're in bed at night, and, you know, that's it. You're done. And I can remember where we were in Africa, because there was a lot of mosquitoes. Carolyn was the midwife, so we'd be tucked underneath the mosquito net, and, you know, they would come banging on the door, sister, the lady's in labor. And so, you know, she's just about to deliver. So Carolyn says, okay, that's fine. Just let me put all my repellent on and I'll be there in half an hour. You can't do that. So she would run off up to the hospital and she, you know, would help with the delivery and the mosquitoes would be biting on her. And then that's how she got the malaria. And so I remember one time we'd been reading the books. Remember that evening? I'll never forget this. We'd been reading the books about malaria and we'd been praying together, and, you know, it was like this blood-brain barrier thing. I mean, that's scary. I mean, because you die. And we were lying there, and we had to get in the bed and tuck all the mosquito net in, but then you got to switch the light off. So I rigged up this little switch where we could press on the mosquito net to the light switch, and we could switch the light off from inside the mosquito net. That was good. I was pretty pleased with myself because I'm not really very handy at things like that. And it worked. And so there we are, we're fast asleep. And then in the middle of the night, I feel on my face. And it was an instant chemical reaction happened in me. I was bolt awake.
You've got to explain what happened. Okay. I had my arm up like this and didn't know it. And in the middle of the night, it got so heavy, it fell across his face. And it was cold, and he thought I died, to put it that way.
I did! Don't laugh! Not very nice. Everything went through my mind. It's like the funeral and the parents and, you know, running up to the doctor's house because it was heavy and cold. And it just...
You know.
And I'm, Carolyn! Just like a wild
What's
man.
What's your problem?
And she's fine. Praise the Lord.
But, you know, and we laugh because it's funny, but we do need to read one another. Just very recently, and we're just going to be very open, very recently, it was about a month or 6 weeks ago, I noticed in the night, I was awake, and I thought, boy, Paul's breathing sounds kind of different. It seems like it's kind of rapid. As a nurse, I'm thinking, okay, I know it should be about, you know, 12, 14 respirations a minute. So I counted, I got my phone out, and I'm like thinking, 22. I don't like 22. I thought, oh, I guess it's just my imagination. So the next night, I'm awake. Girls, you understand, 50, Kirsty, you know, anyway, spent a lot of time awake. And so 22 the next night, 22 the next night. And finally, after some time of this, we decided we needed to talk to Dr. Neb, and we did, and we ran blood tests. And long story short, we found out that you have an overactive thyroid and Graves' disease. We would never have known because he's not going to come to me. Guys, I know how it works. You don't come to your wife and say, I'm not really feeling that great, do you? Very rarely, until you're really not feeling great and now you're in the hospital or somewhere worse. So just encouragement to one another. We need to be reading one another. So if he's not looking great, find out what's going on. If she's not feeling good, be sensitive. Not, oh yeah, she's just a hypochondriac, you know, she'll get over it. Don't go there. Let's be reading one another. Because, yeah, it does happen. As the doc told us, you know, guys tend to be going along just fine and bam, they're gone. And it happens that way. We ladies tend to be a bit more tuned in, probably because we're tuned into our children's health. And so we're a little bit more tuned into our own. But I want to encourage us as wives to be tuned into them. Find out what's going on. And if you're not comfortable with what's going on, bug them until they choose to go do something about it.
Whoa.
Like have blood tests and things.
Yes. The message is essentially over, but we just want to recap where we started off. The disciples loved their Lord, but they misunderstood and didn't get a lot of what he said until later. And in our relationship as husband and wife, we communicate on a regular basis. But oftentimes, those blue hearing aids and those pink hearing aids and megaphones, they get all things scrambled up, and we don't hear the heart. So, ladies, read the headlines. Pray and ask questions. Men, if she doesn't say it directly, try and read between the lines. And ladies, if he's talking between the lines, try and figure it out. please try and figure it out. Because for a man to speak between the lines, there's some intimidation there. There's some fear there. Otherwise, he'd just come out and say it. So you've got to be extra sensitive to that. So listen to each other. Tom and Elaine are going to take this concept tomorrow afternoon and take it further. The message is entitled Cherish. And that's really what we're saying. Cherish each other. Look after each other. Shall we go to our knees and pray? After we've had prayer, we'll have a little time. And this would be a great time, husbands and wives, just to pray together, have a hug, and a little bit of chit-chat. Father in heaven, thank you for the beautiful relationship that you gave in marriage. One husband, one wife. We know the devil is seeking to distort it terribly in these last days, but praise God, it's been there since Eden and it's still alive today. But Father, because we live here in this world, it's so easy to be distracted and to lower the standard in our own marriages and to just to treat each other as casual friends instead of in that holy wedlock. So Father, please bless us as we try to read each other, as we seek to care for each other. And Father, we pray that you'd help us in this, that we wouldn't misunderstand. And we thank you for hearing this prayer.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.